Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the gospel lesson. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is our text. The other night, I alluded to a recent statement made by our previous president, Barack Obama. He was, I think, taking a phrase from a book by a man by the name of Jim Wallace, who kind of tried to mix Marxism and Christianity back a long time ago, the magazine called Sojourners, but who also was one of his spiritual advisors. President Obama said that racism is America's original sin. Now, I don't really want to get into all the details, all the history, and all the debate that goes on with all of these things. I do want to say that there's a theological point that needs to be made, and it needs to be made very clearly at this time, because it's important that the people of this world don't get confused, especially when somebody uses theological categories like original sin. You don't want people to be misled into thinking that we have a different original sin than the rest of the world, or that certain people are afflicted with this sin and other people aren't. Marxists believe that if the circumstances, the structures that you live in are properly constructed, well, we'll be on our way to a paradise, to a utopia. That has been their dream, I would say their delusion, because of their denial of the true doctrine of original sin. Marxists have taught from the time they began that human beings were perfectible if you just got the context right. The circumstances, the laws, the structure of society. And that's why we hear all of this talk about systemic racism. It is not because, well, it's not because people care much about sin. I mean, when you look around this world, when you turn on your TV, when you see what movies are to be offered, what books are written, do you find people who are really worried about sin? I mean, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of people who say, "Don't tell me what to do. Don't judge me." That's what people do. They don't want to be told that. And right now, this whole business is kind of finding a foothold throughout the world. Now, again, I'm not going to get up here and make a political speech. I want to get this clearly straight from the mouth of the Lord, who goes out, who as he's getting ready to ascend in a bit, tells his disciples what their mission is. And he doesn't make a distinction between black and white, yellow, red, whatever colors or ideas you have about the differences in people. He says every single person, every single person needs to be saved, needs to be rescued from their sins, original, and every sin they've committed since. For if they have sinned once, if they have thought a bad thought once, that sin will damn them. They're guilty of the whole thing. And you see, we talk about love today, and you've heard me talk about this 100 times. People talk about love being this feeling I have for people, and people don't like people who judge or say difficult things because it doesn't feel loving, and they use their feelings as their hermeneutic. That is their way of explaining things, and it's all wrong, and it's sinful. Love is not a feeling. Love is a perfect keeping of the law. And when people fight against the law of God, they are telling you they want nothing to do with love. Whether it's sexual and marital love, or whether it is the way you treat a black man, a white man, or whoever else. You see, the Christian church has never said that certain people are better than others, but that we all are damned sinners by nature. And that the only good that would ever come out of us, we get no glory for. Only God does. There has not been a Christian who had his theology straight who has ever been a racist. Oh, there are Christians who don't have their theology straight. You can see that with Christians living in sexual sin. You can see that with Christians who live doing all sorts of other things. Whatever it might be. The greed, and all of these other things we see. Christians stumble into these sins. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus says, go out and make disciples of all nations. You see, the church never looked down its nose at people on the basis of the color of their skin. Individual human beings might have. Even Christians within the church, just like they sin with respect to, well, Peter's time. They sin. Lawless hands took Jesus and hung him on a cross. Those were the best men of the day, the highest church members. Jesus, go make disciples of all nations, because every single human being needs their sinful nature to be drowned. There's no one good, no, not one. And as long as their sinful nature exists, they will be coming again and again before the feet of God, and they will bow down and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. They will live in what we call in their baptism. For daily we sin much. They need to be drowned. Black men, white men, red men. You hear all this nonsense. Oh, that Nancy Pelosi's, they all have a spark of good in them. Nonsense. Well, people are basically good. Nonsense. That's not what our Lord says. That is not what the Creator said. The only person whose heart isn't deceitful above all things, the only person you know on this earth who always tells the truth, says everyone, the only thing they can say, the only thing that human beings can say, as Dr. Corby said, is, I'm a liar. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless he was born again, he would not see, nor would he enter the kingdom of God. Flesh is flesh and needs to be put to death. Paul will call for that in Ephesians 4. The problem for all who have been born into this world, who are descended from Adam, they are afflicted with a sinful nature, a true original sin. Not an original sin like many of our leaders are trying to use today to try to distract you from the fact that they failed in their office. And they're trying to blame a whole group of people for the fact that they didn't do their job in Minneapolis. That is injustice. I don't want to hear anybody tell me about social justice when that is an example of the worst, one of the worst injustices that's been inflicted on this country and on its citizens. Are there racists in this country? Surely. There are people who hate people for a variety of reasons. Out of the heart come all manner of wickedness and evil. these men and women who failed to do their job try to pass it off as somebody else's problem. And they are silent while people are breaking the seventh commandment, destroying people's property. Oh, well, you can get this replaced. That's true in general. But what does it take? What does it take to make money to replace, to pay the deductibles, to do the work? Time. Where do you go buy some more time? How do you replace time that somebody took away from you and now you've got to go and clean up and replace things? And where do you get the money? Do people just give it to you? That's crazy stuff. It's not only one sin, but it's sin beyond number. The old Adam will not be reformed, even by the best of circumstances. He must drown. He must be drowned. He must die and raised to new life. We must be created anew. We must be born again, born from above, Jesus tells us in John 3. Beyond that, there is no hope that we will ever be able to do one good thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, no one can do one good work. Not one good thing, according to God. So let's quit with this nonsense that denies what the Lord of heaven and earth, what we said in the Athanasian Creed. Those words make our heads start to spin because we're trying to keep together what the Bible says. But he is God of God, Lord of lords. He is Christ. He is God and man. All these mysteries. But he doesn't lie to you like every other human being would lie to you. They lie to you for power. They lie to you like the devil lies. He lies when he says death is better than life. And where do we see that? Go to Washington. Go to up north where our governor wants to make sure that people can abort their children. Listen to Candace Owens, who complains very loudly that the abortion clinics are planted in black communities. Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, wanted to stop the black people from reproducing. She said that explicitly. This was the eugenics movement. But on from there, we all need, all nations need to be saved and rescued from sin, death, and the devil through the blood of Christ, whose work is applied to our life. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. He was crushed for us. Otherwise, he didn't have to be crushed for those who weren't racist. You see, but the liberal churches in America, the United Church of Christ, where Barack Obama went, generally doesn't take seriously the need for an atonement. And the pastor there, remember, said he followed what's called liberation theology. Marxism in Christianity. You don't need to change people's hearts. Jesus said, you need to die and rise again. So we don't wait for some civic revolution to bring about a good society. For first, the heart must be right, the tree healed, the cup washed, before anything good can be found in it. Therefore, Christians do not get caught up in these collective dreams. We do not try to make excuses for the failures of sinners or politicians by simplistically blaming one group of people. As if, just if I keep repeating it, racism, 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 somehow people will believe it. People hate. There is no question about that. And it begins with every We all need to be saved from sin, death, and devil, and that begins with every man, woman, and child. Only Christ, through baptism in the Word, can prepare us for the only true heaven. This earth will never be a heaven. Jesus himself told us, don't set your hearts on this place, on things below, where moth and rust corrupt. Don't set your heart on this world, for this is not your home. Don't be so silly and deluded as the world and some politicians who would tell you that this world is going to be heaven. They need to be sent packing. I'm not talking about voting or anything like that. I'm talking about educated citizens telling them that they're believing a dream and it's not a good one. It's a nightmare that's killed hundreds of millions of people. China, you've heard me say this. In order to get a few more dollars in the pockets of their people, in order to increase their economic prosperity, they killed almost a half a billion people. 400,000 children, most likely. No, 400 million children. Almost a half a billion people. Death will solve the problem. Then Jesus says, teaching them to keep and guard and treasure all that I've commanded you. How easy it is to be swept away with the thoughts around us. We see people kneeling and apologizing and assenting to this idea. We see people throughout the world protesting and rioting, thinking that addressing one simple problem can solve the problems of this world. But man cannot solve this problem, not even if the whole world sets its mind to it. You hear people tell you a pure lie. If we set it, we can do anything that we set our minds to. That is, there is nothing. James 4, I quoted it earlier this week. James 4, you foolish man who think you can say, I'm going to go here and I'm going to trade and make a profit. You're but a breath. A vapor. Who do you think you are that you would talk like that? We can do this. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Repent, therefore, for thinking such thoughts. And look and fix your eyes on Christ. That is why we need to keep before our eyes the Bible, the Word. Teaching them to keep and to treasure all that I have commanded you. All that I've commanded you. He doesn't say, oh, just get a John 3:16 passage in their head. That'll be enough. Well, if that was enough, we wouldn't have so many people confused at this time. They would have known very well, this is just nonsense. Not nonsense because I want to argue about being a Republican or a Democrat. Nonsense because it contradicts the words of the triune God. And it sets people off and tries to justify people for breaking the words of the triune God. Murdering people. Beating people. Harming people in their bodies and destroying their property. The Bible makes clear the words of our Savior make clear that our hearts and minds cannot be healed and restored by anyone other than God in the flesh. I alone am your Savior. It is the message of the Bible from beginning to end. At the fall of Adam and Eve, God says there is one who will come and crush the head of the serpent, the liar and murderer. Disciples cannot endure without the clear word of God. This is not some pastor trying to drum up support. How silly human beings are. When they start to refuse to hear God's word because somehow they don't like the pastor. They refuse to do what Jesus says because they don't love. That's cutting your nose off to spite your face. How foolish. How foolish. Jesus didn't tell the Jews to disregard the Pharisees. He said, when they tell you to do what Moses says, do it. We play games. The preached word, the gospel, as we have heard, as Paul has made clear, is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. salvation, to be restored to the image of God. That's what it means. That's what God's doing through baptism, through the supper. That's what he's doing. That's the only place you will find a human being who is becoming healthy and fit. The word of God, the preached word, helps us to understand our problem, our need, and God's supply in and through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the trouble we have. We don't always know what our problem is. We don't always know where we're stumbling and falling, and we try to justify ourselves. That's what the Jews were doing in Acts. These men are drunk. We don't have to listen to them. That Christ is and remains our all in all. This is our treasure, and therefore, no matter what lines have been drawn in this world, the church lines up with Christ. She confesses Christ. She says to the world, that's a lie. For hatred comes from every human being that lives on this planet. Men can do nothing but hate. They cannot love outside of faith in Christ. We learn that in our catechism, third use of the law. And so we don't pretend to be any better than anybody else. We don't look down our noses at people on the basis of their skin color or their race or whatever. We as Christians see each other as fellow sinners who need a Savior, a true Savior. Not some deluded Marxist, not some silly politician who doesn't know even his own history. This is why the church is told to keep, to guard, and to treasure everything Jesus has told us. Not just a couple things. Well, I don't want to learn too much. No. You are to keep and to guard and to treasure. Treasure means this is the most precious thing I can know. This is the most precious thing that's been given to me. Thy word is like pure gold. It's like honey. It's more precious than anything else. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The words of God tell you your sins are forgiven, tell you that you are God's child, tell you that he is going to finish the work he began in you, tells you all of these things, and they will not fail to come to pass. The church guards and treasures them and does not despise them. And we go out into the midst of this world as fellow sinners who have been rescued and are being kept for eternal life. We don't go look for the bad people. There's no pretense or thinking that we are better. Oh, well, look at that bad neighborhood over there. The bad neighborhood is everywhere you and I live. Sinners live there. People who need to repent daily and much. Rather, we confess and proclaim that there is a better way that leads to life, an abundant life. Not a deluded paradise, but a true abundant life where everything was good. Did you hear that? He spoke and it was so. He spoke and it was so, and it was good. It was good. We, with heaven, rejoice when a sinner repents and find salvation and rest in the life and the work of Christ. We look for those who are hungry for mercy, for the bloody word, for a Savior, who are tired of all the schemes and plans of fallen men to excuse and justify sin. And so we deal directly with sinners, and he will never leave us or forsake us. That is where our hope is found, not in some human person or system, but in the Lord who took on human flesh and accomplished and did the work once and for all. He will not fail to be working what he promises. And these places and instruments which he uses, these are our treasures, which we guard and keep to everlasting life. The church has been through this struggle many times in the past, and she will not be overcome by the collective will of human beings. Rather, she will stand in the grace and mercy of God in Christ. And she will confess and live from the gospel. For it is the power of God to true and real and the only salvation that you and I will ever find on this earth. And the only solution to the hatred that we find living in our communities. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. Go and make disciples. Amen.